Hello, welcome to the Thursday, January 19th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Office, in particular Microsoft Excel macros, have certainly made a comeback. Luckily, there are some tools that can help you analyze suspect documents, and Daniel wrote a diary demonstrating one of these tools, OLEVBA. OLEVBA is a command line tool that extracts macros from Microsoft Office documents and analyzes them for suspicious code. So, for example, it will pull out URLs and executable file names if it finds anything like that from these macros, and then allow you to review them to figure out whether or not the particular macro is suspicious. And if it is suspicious, what websites does it go to? What does it try to install or run on your system? Like all of these tools, it's probably not complete, but really easy to run, very quick way to sort of get a first estimate at what this Visual Basic macro does. And DNS-based denial-of-service attacks are, of course, still happening as well. In particular, some of the attacks we're seeing now are using authoritative DNS servers as reflectors. And for these authoritative DNS servers, they actually request records for which this DNS server is authoritative for. So the standard guidance where you don't allow anybody to connect to your recursive DNS server and you limit what questions are answered by your authoritative DNS server, well, you've got it in place, but in this case, it's not really going to help you. One thing that you still can do is implement rate limiting. Now, Bind included this as a feature in some of the more recent releases. It's certainly something you should look at, in particular if you notice an incoming flood of DNS requests that could possibly indicate that your DNS server is used as a reflector. Essentially, the rate limit is not limiting the total number of responses you're going to send back, but the number of responses per time that you're going to send back to a particular IP address. And if you think about it, if your DNS server is responsible for a couple of different zones, there isn't really a reason for anybody to ask for the same record over and over again. It should be cached. So you can implement these rate limits fairly safely. Also, if there's no response coming back, you can, for example, indicate that the client should connect back via TCP and such. So there are a couple different options you have to really make this a pretty neat and useful feature. And in case you still haven't turned off remote access to your router, here is yet another reason to do so. A new vulnerability was made public affecting recent models of Netgear routers. The vulnerability affects devices that can be remote controlled via the Netgear Genie applications. In this case, this Genie application uses a SOAP API to control the device. It can be used to request parameters, but also to adjust parameters. Problem is, authentication isn't done correctly with these Netgear devices. Netgear was informed of the problem, but doesn't appear to be coming forward with a patch for this vulnerability. So really what you should do is turn off remote admin for your router, and it shouldn't be turned on by default anyway. And by now, if you're a regular listener, you probably know that I like the Kippo SSH honeypot. Michael Osterhoff came out with a couple of improvements to this honeypot. For example, it now supports SFTP, additional logging. Also, he updated some of the SSH protocol libraries and such. So some of the tricks that, for example, Metasploits are playing to identify Kippo honeypots no longer work. And Bitcoin exchanges continue to have a problem. The most recent victims are BTER, which is the largest Chinese Bitcoin exchange. It got compromised and $1.75 million were stolen. Also, Canada's largest Bitcoin exchange was compromised. Kvirtex, if I pronounced that correctly. Now, no loss really to the users here. They were backed by fans, so they didn't really lose anything. However, they did decide to get out of the Bitcoin business altogether as a result. And then, as a reminder, tax time is in full swing, and with that, numerous scams to obtain taxpayers, social security numbers, or credentials for various tax services. Also, in addition, the usual fake refund letters that, of course, then turn out to install malware on your system if you open the attachment. And just to sort of tie in with our first story, Cisco just released a write-up on one of these scams that, yet again, used Visual Basic macros to install additional malicious software. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.